WHL. W2HL from KG2RY.
Hi,
how you doing, Dave? KG2RY of 2HL, how are you? Keeping cool? Howie, I've been in the house all day, and I got the AC on. Is it really warm outside? And to Rio.
Good afternoon, hello, Richard. Well, I'm right now in New Jersey. And it's 94 degrees in Fort Lee. I'm on the Palisades Parkway by Rockefeller Lookout. It's real hot, real hot. I'm sorry, the other day we were talking on 20 meters, Dave, I remember, and I developed a problem. So I had to QSY real fast and check something on the output. And then I went to look for you guys again. But I had to check it out real fast. Back to you and swing it over to Rich. KG2RY, W2HL on the group. W2HL from KG2RY. Fine business, Howie. And I'm sure that, you know, at that moment when you disappeared, that you would appear sometime again soon. No problem at all. I guess 94 degrees is pretty warm and can be slightly uncomfortable. You didn't mention if there's a lot of humidity, but I would almost guess that there is. I'll pass it along to Richie now, N2EL from KG2RY. How are you, Richie?
I'm doing good, David. By the way, Howard, David, I'll explain it to you. Howard, would you believe the house that I really wanted in Binghamton, New York, it was off Zillow, now it's back on. So I'm going to buy it. All I have to wait for, I have a woman here, she's part of a group where they buy and sell homes. If she comes in at my price, I'm selling. We may have to haggle a little bit, but that's always the case. Back to you, David, and I'll explain.
SL, Richie. Glad that you're taking action, your situation. And I'm sure that everything will work out just fine. I hope you get a nice place in Binghamton and hope it's what you really want. And maybe one day, you know, I see you on the HF. I pass it to Howie, W2HL from KG2RY.
Okay, thank you. And yeah, very good. I'm glad you're, everybody's keeping cool. Boy, I just went out, I just stepped out of the car to get some gas, and boy, oh boy, it is really, it's like an oven out there, over here in Alpine. I'm by Alpine. I know that if I wasn't high up here on the Palisades, I wouldn't be able to make it into the repeater. Rich, when you said something about that you were checking out on the internet, I thought you were going to say that the house sold already, so I'm glad that it didn't, and I hope that you're able to get the thing sold and bought and get moving on it. Anyway, I'm going to say 73s and good afternoon to you guys, because I'm probably going to get out of range momentarily. Enos says hello, too. So, yeah, I'll look for you on HF, Dave, in a few days. So, I don't know how the bands are, but I know that the sunspot number went to zero after it was up there for a while. KG2RY in the group. No, N2EO in the group, W2HL. And I'm going to say 73s. I'll listen out.
Hey, Howard. But was off the market, and I was back on. I was astounded. All I had to do was close. this house, and I could buy it. So let me turn it over to David, then say 7-3.
QSL, Richie. 73, Sally. Drive safely, and speak to you again soon. There wasn't many signals on the band. I heard one from Peru. I heard a Peruvian station working a lot of European DX. His signal was about a 5 and 5. 73, and back to Richie, N2EL from KG2RY.
Okay, David. You know, I started this basically, but I can't afford $12,000 a year plus the other expenses. I owe a lot of money. Up there, people in the city don't realize you get a house for $50,000, and I'm not talking about a junk house, a very nice house. And the taxes are whatever you get between $3,000 and $4,000. What I'll be getting from this house and my social security, I'll do very well.
QSL, Richie. It's good that you have it all under control now, and things are much more clear about what to do. So that's very good. And, you know, I just want to say that I'm very happy to rent, and I rented my apartment. So I have to figure out that I should have enough money for the next 30 or 40 years to rent the apartment, and then, you know, expenses are much lower. That's what I do. Go ahead.
Okay, David. Look, each to his own. They'd have to pay me to live in Greenwich Village, and I wouldn't go anyway. That's me. I want the clear open. I'm not going to shoot the deer or the wild turkey. But I don't believe in that for me. But what I do want to do is get the camera with a telephoto lens so I don't have to get too close. And I want to take pictures.
USL, sounds like a good time. I did something like that in Yellowstone many years ago, Yellowstone National Park, and also Yosemite. Took landscapes in Yosemite. And it was all very beautiful. It was a very nice time. It's nice to be out in the nature and to have peace and quiet, and peace of mind. You know, nature tends to do that to people, you know. And to sit next to a body of water that's maybe moving, like a running stream or a river, you know, and it's very relaxing. This is extremely relaxing. There was this great scholar from India. He talks about, like, you know, being in nature is like being higher.
Up there, peace and quiet. The house is located in the woods, which is just what I want. Would you believe for $59,000, not only do I get a nice house, it's got 3 beds, 2 baths, a living room and all the stuff, a kitchen, and it's almost 4 acres. They put it down as 3.9 acres.
QSL, very nice. You're going to put up an antenna?
And it's similar to what I have here, but with that kind of land, I go down to 160 meters.
QSL, one of those, what they call those quad loops?
No. I have a dipole here. It's made by a company called Cobra Compact Antennas. This one goes on 80. It's 73 feet long. And the bigger one will go down to 160. Same company. You feed it with open wire line. you a tuna. It works fine. So I'll get the one that covers 160.
G2RY. Fine business. Get on 160. I'll listen for you.
What'd you say? Did you get on 160?
No, I can only listen on 160. My antenna is very small. You know, it's only from 40 through 10. So I get 10 and 15 and 17 and 20 and 40.
Okay, there. I haven't seen you in a moment. David, yes. I didn't lose my marbles yet. I would advise you that this is the way I think to move upstate, have very low taxes, and the heck with the city.
QSL, QSL. I stay in New York City. I'll pay taxes, lots of taxes, you know. And I'm very thankful that I could be here because, you know, if I'm alone and nothing's happening and there's nothing to do, you know, I can get dressed up, I can go out somewhere, you know, I can meet people, I can be around people. If I walk down the street, there's always somebody to meet, somebody to talk to. You know, for me, that's like the biggest thing. New York City is like that, you know, like ham radio. It's like ham radio because, you know, on ham radio, you can just put your call sign out there. Somebody will talk to you. That's a really great thing. N2EO from KG2RY.
Okay, David. Well, I'd like to meet somebody else. Patty was a nightmare. That's all I can say about that. But once I get up to Binghamton, I want to join a radio club. Do you know there were more radio clubs up there than down here? It was hard to believe. Dozens of them up there. The first one I looked at was the Binghamton Amateur Radio Association. And I want to join a social club, meet people, like a 9-to-80.
You think I could wear Binghamton on 40 during the day?
Yes, I you might get up then.
Yeah, yeah, I'll see. I'll listen on 40 and see what stations are coming through, you know. It'd be nice to stay in touch on the HF.
I'm going to still stay in Wyoming. I'll be on Echo Link.
Marcel, I'll listen for you there, too.
Well, when I get up there, I have to set the station up. It's very slow with my disability. Oh, I called the dean at Binghamton College. But I told her I'm disabled. I told her I'm in a need. I'd like to have a couple of strapping young students to help me and pay them. I'll pay them well. So when the fall semester starts, she said she'll put up flyers. If I get a couple of two guys that can do what I want, I will pay them twice what they're worth.
Michelle, sounds very resourceful, sir. And then they can help you put your antennas up, too.
I'm not sure. There may be insurance problems with that. My friend Barry, N2MB, said he might come up. It'll just take a while. One of the radio clubs up there will help me. That's something else.
Russell, do they have big antennas at the radio club? Can you operate a rig in the radio club and make DX there?
Oh, I'm not going to do that. I want to set up my own station. I have here an L-shaped table. One side is the radio gear, the other side is the computer stuff. And rather than using that, these tables break apart. But in a few years, because they're not wood, they're flake board, I want to buy two doors, solid wood doors. They cost more, but they'll hold up forever. Now the students screw on one side to the wall, put legs on the other side, paddle me till I die.
How much is a G5RV that'll work 160?
I have no idea.
They're good antennas. I have the G5RV Mini, but it's in a package inside of a storage. I don't use it. You know, I know that Alpha Delta makes an antenna that'll work on 160, but I think it's just 160 and 80 meters. That's all, like a fan dipole.
I'm really not familiar. Where would you put it?
Myself, I have nowhere to put it. You know, your idea about hamstick dipole. Maybe one day I'll make a 75 meter hamstick dipole just to see if I could make some contact.
Sure you can. MMJ makes a coupler so you can couple two of the hamsticks together to make a dipole. And you feed it, I guess you feed it with coax. This is N2EO.
N2EO from KG2RY. But there's some other companies, they make shorter antennas with like a big loading coil at the bottom. They're much more expensive. Can put two of those together with the coupler. That would work also, but I think there's a limitation in the...
the handsticks are heavily round. I don't know how broad they are. Don't forget the all in frequency you go within the antenna, the sharper it tunes. But anyway, look, good luck with that. David, I got a one. KG2RY, N2EO.
N2EO from KG2RY. 73, have a fantastic day. It's nice chatting with you again. N2EO from KG2RY.
Up a plumbing job and
trying to get better organized. It's just going to take me a couple of weeks.
I hear you. Do you have a finished basement and you have AC down there, or it's just, it is what it is, there's nothing down there?
No, I got the AC on the upper floors and a couple of fans trying to bring it in, so it's not too unbearable.
Yeah, I hear you. This weather is like, I'm looking at my thermometer. I'm here at the baseball park here in Seacliff. The wife is walking around the park here so the dog can go to the bathroom. It's too hot to walk to the park, which is maybe about a half a mile, three-quarter mile walk from my house.
say, tonight.
Net tonight at 8 o'clock. Welcome to the W2VL repeater. Net time.
Limark TechNet, this is AC2GS, and I'm sorry to say that the TechNet won't be running tonight. We'll be back next Sunday, so stay tuned.
Joy, is Dick not available?
No, he is not.
No, that's a quick short answer. Well, then have a nice week.
That's a plan. So, talk to you next week.
TechNet tonight.
Because I can hear it for a change, and there's none of that tonight. Actually, it's booming in up here. I have not. I've just been busy with a lot of other things, and I haven't played with it at all. I got that unit, and it's sitting here in the box still, but I haven't hooked it up. I did want to ask you a question. What were you using when you were getting signal strengths on the TV stations? What were you using for that? Back to you.
First of all, what unit are you talking about? Did you go out and buy an Insignia converter?
Yes, that's right. I forgot the name of it for a minute.
Okay. When I measure signal strength, I'm using an IFR service monitor. I own a couple of those. I have an IFR 1500 that's capable of reading from 0 to 1,000 megs. I use that basically on a splitter that feeds the converter in one particular room. So whatever the converter sees as far as signal strength, I can pretty much look at the matching approximate level that the converter is seeing on my service monitor. That's how I'm actually measuring signal strength. But by knowing that, I put padding in front of the converters and be able to maybe make these go down to about minus 90 as far as still decoding a TV signal. If it's a clean signal. If it's not, it's got to be a lot stronger. But what I was going to ask you, one of the local channels down here changed. I just went back on the air again. RF 27 is now occupied by CBS's East Transmitter. I think they're off the same antenna tower that WLNY is on, which is RF 47. I just wonder if you can hear that up your way.
Late check-in.
I haven't used it much. I will check in a couple of minutes. But my basic reason for getting over the TV is I'm originally from New York, so I like to watch the news at least for an hour, you know, in the afternoon when it's on, see what's going on down there. So I have an old channel master, 7-foot parabolic up in a tree, and it does pretty good. I got an amplifier in it, And I'll play with it a little bit. You know, I don't even have a rotor on it because I can't get it to turn up there. But I will check. I also have a problem if I try to scan because I'll lose the channels that I have been in now. What is the channel that it's on right now? 27 or 47?
Well, they're broadcasting from both. WLNY DT55 is running on RF 47, and CBS East transmitter used to be on RF 22. But they went off the air for a while. I just saw them reappear yesterday, and they're on the air today again on RF 27. If I look on the FCC website, that I use for information purposes, it says that that's going to be the RF channel that eventually LNY is going to go over to in June of 2019, June 2019. That's their expected dates. I guess they're doing it ahead of time, probably running transmitter tests, field tests, and so forth. And I guess later on, it's just a matter of a couple of keystrokes, and you can fit another channel on top of the one you already have there. And probably keep the other transmitters in standby. So, good to see them back on the air again. That one you ought to be able to get up there, because that one is transmitting from, I think it's transmitting, not Middle Island, it's actually further east of Middle Island. It's almost like Ridge. Not quite Riverhead, but it's on a fairly good tower out in Ridge. So I think you ought to be able to see that pretty much all the time, even if your antenna is not quite turned at it.
It's in Ridge, and it doesn't happen until July of 2019.
Yeah, KC, when I say I'm picking it up, I cannot get 55 right now. I used to get it. I would get it at times. The parabolic is very focused, and I got it up approximately New York, and I used a couple of ropes to steer it towards New York. So I only really pick up New York City with it. And I would get channels off the side occasionally. 21 would come in, but I'm looking right now, and 21 is coming in, but I can't get 55 right now. I have to poke around a bit and play. The other way I can't punch in channels on this unless the TV has logged them in when I scan. I can do it by going to like a narrow number of channels and say scan there. So I have to play with it a little bit, Joe. Basically I get what I want to get on it, and I was curious about maybe picking up a few other things. Back over to you.
Oh, there he is, the broadcast engineer. Go ahead, broadcast engineer.
Yeah, roger that. This is KC2, Queen Yankee Whiskey, Joe from Harrison, New York. My question is, are they going to do the tech net tonight with the tech man and Paul from NASA? Back to you.
Tech net is canceled for this evening. Hello, Joe. Have you noticed anything about Channel 13 at all?
No, should I? Did they move that to a higher location or better location? I only noticed recently that RF 27 is now occupied by CBS's East transmitter. I guess they're getting ready for the move eventually when they decide to put LNY piggyback on top of it.
You know, CBS is running from Ridge and also from, killed the Empire for Channel 13. So it's now circularly polarized. It's given it some issues. But it's operating from World Trade as of last week.
Well, that's nice. And the last band opening that happened, which is a pretty good one, RF 13 was getting taken out by the station down in Baltimore. Just rocked it right out. Just socked it right out of the park there. Couldn't see 13 at all. But now maybe you'll have a fighting chance.
Yeah, maybe. You're running a little more power. Again, it's circularly polarized, so some of it is devoted. Actually, most of it's devoted to the horizontal, but some of it's devoted to the vertical, and it's actually killing us in Manhattan. No, I spent the last 2 weeks up at World Trade getting that thing ready and going.
Okay. Very good. I'm replying off the East transmitter. I'm talking to KC1SAM up in Connecticut, and I figured this is the easiest way to do it in case things weren't linked together, but I guess they still are. That's good. Well, I noticed that channel 13 was never quite as strong as 11, and certainly never quite as strong as RF7. So now that's up on trace, and I'll have to take a look at it with the analyzer and see what the relative difference is. But it's pretty hard to beat the other channel, the RF3. Is even in their current location now, they still have better signal strength than everything else out of New York, so they're going to be a hard one to beat.
Yeah, JLP is actually coming from Fortine Square. They don't have any transmitters at Fade or at Empire, interestingly enough. We also have a standby at Fortine. And comes 2019, and July 21 will be coming from World Fade. And Plainview will be coming back up.
Repeat that again. What did you say is going to be coming from World Trade? Channel 21?
Yep, I did. Now, at that point, it'll be Channel 32. And at that point, Channel 13 will actually be RF-12.
I didn't know about that. Okay. You mean, okay, so what market are you trying to pick up? All of New York and then some of New Jersey also?
No, believe it or not, RF-21's audience is in New Jersey and Connecticut, but that's really not the reason for it. Because the concept is that...
I don't think connections still work here. So what are you doing but with a move like that, moving the transmitter from Plainview to World Trade Center, even though it's going on a different RF frequency? What are you trying to do, pick up the New Jersey market also?
Then the ATSC for me will have all of 13 and 21 on it.
Hi, is this thing working okay?
It's not.
Say that again?
I was replying to you off of the East transmitter. I asked you twice, you didn't reply to me. I guess you didn't hear me. What's the reason for moving Plainview to the World Trade Center? You're trying to pick up the New Jersey market?
There's a problem with the link.
Hang on a minute. Well, I change all the linking. Because sometimes Glen Oaks doesn't transmit. I haven't fixed that. I'm actually up at Glen Oaks. I just took care of the internet problem. Give me a minute. Let me change everything.
You guys doubled on each other.
Yeah, well, I'm listening to it now. I have heard what you're talking about. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not.
Yeah, let me change the way they're getting together. Take a minute.
Anyway, Sam, you want to take some time to hook up the insignia, because the insignia will let you add channels per channel without doing a rescan, which is what I don't like with one of the other first converters I had, where I had borrowed one. It would only do an auto scan. It would not let you manually enter channels. Same thing with a TV set. You buy the TV sets nowadays with the ATSC tuner built in. Won't let you do a per channel thing, at least as far as I've never seen one yet. But the insignia is beautiful because once you put it on ARF channel, you press the center button and light up the channel and it darkens it instead of being like grayed out. And then you can actually add that channel to your entire list without doing a rescan and losing other stuff.
Auto-connect enabled. Auto-connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system. Node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active. Connected to reflector 9126.
KDUEJ82AMZ.
currently connected to node number 9126.
I DeLaw to connect enabled.
Over, and then I pull the antennas up into the tree, and they actually stick up above the tree, so they're way, way up there. I've got a couple of them, got three of them actually. And then I said, well, let me try. I had this parabolic I haven't used in years, and I got that over another branch, so that's really hung under a very, very tall branch. That's about maybe 75, 80 feet up. It's just hung, you know, from above. So it's not like it's on a pole or anything, so it's difficult to figure out a way to make it turn. Matter of fact, you can't make that one turn, really, just a few degrees by pulling on the ropes I have on each side of it. I haven't figured out how to get something up where I could put a rotor on it yet.
I'm here 2-1-1-1, okay, you turn, Jeff.
Now I hear you, go ahead.
I'm here 2-1-1-1, okay, you turn, Jeff.
I was replying on the east frequency, now I'm on the other one. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, now I've got everything working the way it should be. Just to recap, what I tried to tell you before is that the reason for bringing 21 up, first of all, a lot of the audience is actually in New Jersey and in Connecticut. That's the reason that they told the management, but the actual reason for bringing it up there is that in July of 2019, you'll have both transmitters up there. One eventually will become ATSC-3, which is the new standard, which is the 4K standard. And on 12, which will be 13, case 13 moves to 12 in July of 19, that will have 13 ultra-high def and 21, all the stuff there. And the 21 transmitter will have 21 and 13, and Creation World, of course, which will be an ATS 8VSB, so that way all the receivers out there will still work. That's sort of kind of the reason. And by the way, there are no sets being manufactured and distributed in this country yet that does ATSC-3, but it's coming probably at the end of the year.
I can't wait. Okay, so I understand that. RF-21 is not going to be going to World Trade Center. They're going to be going to another frequency, which you're going to piggyback 21 on top of 13 and vice versa. Okay, that makes sense. Some of the Spanish channels do that. They play jerseys, which is probably a good idea.
Yeah, well, some of the other stations, when they go ATSC-3, what they're going to do is they're going to join forces. And like right now, you've got NBC and NJU all coming off the same transmitter. A similar thing will happen is that all the ATSC will be dedicated to one particular transmitter, and then on the other frequency will be ATSC-3. So nobody knows exactly how it's going to work out. Although there are actually four ATSC-3 sites that are running at the moment, one in Washington, one in South Carolina, a distributed one in Texas, and another distributed one in Oregon. What I mean by distributed is single frequency transmitters. In Texas, it's four transmitters all on the same frequency, and in Oregon, it's either Oregon or Washington, I'm pretty sure it's Oregon, they're running three transmitters on the same frequency, so that's the experiment at the moment.
And by Washington, you meant Washington State, not Washington, D.C., correct?
No, I actually meant Washington, D.C., and it's Oregon. That's getting confused with Oregon and Washington, because it's D.C. that's actually got the transmitter going.
Really? Okay, do you happen to know the frequency of the one in Washington, D.C.? Because I'm curious to see if I could look at that, what it would look like.
I'll tell you what it'll look like on your spectrum. It looks just like 8VSB, except you won't see a pilot. A little tip that you see that's 10 dB higher on the left side of the waveform won't be there.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny how that works. I'm not sure. My Insignia converters will not see something that without that little
carrier there. I called the pilot carrier. And I already tried hooking mine up to a cable source, and I know the cable channels are digital in the same frequency spectrum, 54 to 60, 60 to 66. They are running digital stuff there. The Insignia doesn't see it at all. Yet, my other tuners in my DVD players has an ATSC tuner, type of tuner in it, and they can either see cable channels or off-the-air stuff. I don't know if they'll say C3 stuff or not, but it'd be interesting to find out when you find out what RF channel is going to be used in Washington, D.C. for over-the-air on the new format.
No, I'm just leaving Glen Oaks now, but I'm heading back towards the station. I can give you an answer in a little while what channel that transmitter's on that you might be able to pick up. ATSC is COFDM, which kind of looks like QAM. The boxes that you have that'll do both cable and over the air, they have both an 8VSB decoder and a QAM decoder. The problem with that is that the COFDM looks like QAM, but it also has an additional series of FECs, which is sort of like, what do we call it? My brain isn't working again. You know the little dongles that you get that people are using for SDRs? That's close. It's BBBT, thank you. Oh, boy, my brain isn't happening. If you have something that will do BBBT, it might actually recognize the carrier, but it won't decode the actual information.
W-H-4-Y-Y. And you said you think that they're going to be making little boxes or something at the end of the year. I have been looking at all those at least twice a month, just Googling stuff. Can't find anybody that makes these things whatsoever. I tried typing in all sorts of different combinations. I even called LG Electronic USA. They have no idea at all.
Yeah, well, they've been supplying receivers for the experimental system. It's still got a little teeny bit of work left to do on it, but in Korea, they are actually currently transmitting ATSC-3 and the manufacturing receivers, which is an earlier version of it. It's not the final version, but yet they're going with it, and it actually will be compatible to the final finished version, so, I mean, unfortunately, the Korean RF channels are not the same as ours.
Okay, well, I guess it remains to be seen who's going to be making a converter box I get my hands on. So within about 2 or 3 years, unless the people do not give up the old format, a lot of the stuff is going to be going by the wayside.
Now, the way they're looking at it, you figure HVSB's got about another 20 years left, and then eventually it'll be good nighted, so to speak, just like we did with analog.
Really? You really believe that's going to be, it's going to hang around for 20 more years, the old format, with the new format mixed in and other various RO channels? That's an interesting thought.
No, that's why all the effort to keep them both going. The FCC actually approves ATSC-3 at the end of this last year, and a part of that arrangement is that 8VSB stays around. It's up to the broadcasters to decide where they're going to merge and who's going to transmit what.
Okay, and this is a question right up your alley. How does this affect the public broadcasting industry? Are they going to be able quickly, do they quickly want to jump in that direction or sort of stay at what they're doing right now?
Now, here's the interesting part of it. WHOYYK2J. Most of the shows that are being shot today are being shot in 4K. So they will actually have a good library of content when it comes to actually making the switch. Most of the sports stuff is starting to be recorded in 4K. The World Cup is all being done in 4K. So, content-wise, the library is growing. As far as the transition goes, you know, that's yet to be seen what people are going to do. There was something I was going to say. It just slipped my face here. It'll come to me. Back to you, Jeff.
Okay, so they'll be put. I guess you can't transmit 4K or a current even a high def channel. You just wouldn't get the results at the other end, would you?
I'm sorry, say that again for me.
If somebody tried to take a 4K program and transmit over your current ATS-C 1-0 system, you wouldn't get the results at the other end. You'd have high definition, but not at that level, correct?
All right, well, it used to be the other way around. When we first went high def, a lot of standard def stuff got upconverted. People tried really hard to make a S-blank-blank-T converter to champagne, or champagne, SH-blah-blah-blah to champagne converter. And as you know, most of the upconverters in the TV set were lousy. By the same token, you get the same result with upconverting 1080i to 4K. It doesn't look that great simply because the chips that they use, you know, they have to make it cost effective. The really good upconverters cost, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. Like the really good one made by Snell is like a $50,000 box. But so there's a difference. But going the other way, going from high def or ultra high def or 4K back to standard high def, you can't tell the difference. It looks really good, but it doesn't look like 4K.
It sounds like they've been doing the 4K thing for quite a while. I imagine all the equipment, including the color cameras they use out in the field for recording and stuff to begin with, is probably on the very, very expensive side.
All right, well, we're talking about broadcast here. Actually, these days, the lenses cost more than the camera does, but, you know, how many broadcast cameras are you going to make? Whereas, like, when you're doing a consumer product, you might be making millions and millions. You know, when it comes to broadcast stuff, you may only be making thousands. You may spend $6, $8, $10, $15 million developing the product. So, in order to make your money back, that product is going to be in the multiple tens of thousands of dollars. It used to be multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, I just bought a new transmitter for 21. I mean, that's $750,000. It's a whole different issue. But yeah, broadcast stuff is expensive. I can buy a really decent 4K camera these days for, really good, as opposed to, say, industrial or consumer grade. I can spend maybe $7,000 to $10,000 on a camera, and then spend $30,000 or $40,000 on a decent lens.
That's very surprising. I didn't realize that lenses were that expensive. And there probably aren't too many people anymore making lenses, I guess.